Are we in for another year of user fee battles? A popular Florida fly-in breakfast suffers a tragedy, and the FAA catches heat for inadequate safeguards on foreign parts. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 3rd, 2008. As the various combatants in the Federal Aviation Administration user fee battle look for ways forward, U.S. Senator John D. Rockefeller predicts 2008 will come and go without an FAA reauthorization bill being passed. And the West Virginia Democrat blames General Aviation's refusal to compromise for the impasse. Last year, the House passed a new FAA funding bill without user fees, but which would raise enough money to fund the FAA, including the move to next-generation air traffic control. There are two versions of reauthorization in the Senate, one without user fees and one which would impose a $25 flat fee on any IFR flight made by a turbine-powered aircraft. While a $25 fee sounds innocuous, it is seen by general aviation advocacy groups as one foot down a slippery slope. Rockefeller has threatened that the Senate Commerce Committee's Aviation Subcommittee, on which he sits, will find ways to limit general aviation access to congested airspace if the turbine user fee fails. But New Hampshire Senator John Sununu notes the GA has supported bills that raise fuel taxes to fund NextGen and, quote, bring us to a much more equitable and proportionate sharing of the costs, unquote. With a permanent funding bill and confirmation of a new administrator both being held up by politics in the Senate, the FAA may find itself frozen in time until a new presidential administration takes over in January 2009. Chapter 866 of the Experimental Aircraft Association is called the Smilin' Jack Chapter, and its members have been hosting a popular fly-in pancake breakfast on the first Saturday of the month for years on Florida's Space Coast. But smiles are hard to come by this week at Arthur Dunn Air Park near Titusville. At Saturday's breakfast, the pilot of a Velocity XL RG canard pusher apparently drifted off the center line of runway 1533 during an aborted landing and hit a van's RV-8 on a parallel taxiway. Both occupants of the RV were reportedly killed instantly when their aircraft was nearly severed by a wing of the XL. The pilot of the Velocity and his passenger are reported hospitalized with life-threatening injuries after the XL cartwheeled and burst into flames following the impact. That accident happened at 8:32 a.m. Saturday morning. The weather at the time was reported VFR. Boeing is promising a serious review of a new report from the U.S. Department of Transportation's Office of the Inspector General, which claims poor FAA oversight of foreign manufacturers is allowing substandard parts to find their way into U.S. airliners. According to the Washington Post, the report was made public by the Project on Government Oversight, a nonprofit organization focusing on government accountability. The OIG charges that the FAA's new records review-based oversight model is missing problems which would be obvious if actual on-site inspections were being conducted at foreign parts suppliers. Quote, FAA's process for supplier audits should be designed to address newer manufacturing business models, which have expanded the number of foreign suppliers, locations where parts are assembled, and the degree of independent manufacturing responsibility suppliers now have, unquote. The OIG report goes on to specifically mention concerns raised by Boeing's widespread international sourcing of parts and subassemblies for the 787 Dreamliner. Boeing spokeswoman Liz Verdier responded, quote, we're reviewing the report, and then certainly if it's necessary to make changes to our process, we'll make changes, unquote. The FAA has released its final rule on a move to plastic pilot certificates. The agency will give us all until March 31, 2010, to replace our paper certificates with plastic ones. After that date, you can't act legally as pilot in command with an older paper certificate, except in limited circumstances such as student pilots on solo flights. The move is prompted by concerns paper certificates would be too easy for terrorists to counterfeit. If you already have one of the early plastic airman certificates and have noticed that the laser-printed lettering easily rubs off, the FAA promises that a new process involving a protective layer applied over the printed card has solved that problem. The cost to convert paper to plastic is $2 per pilot. You can find out more in a link from the bottom of the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, Northrop Eads wins the Air Force's KCX bidding. Lawmakers from Kansas and Washington State react. And corks are popping at British aerospace companies. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing from March 3rd, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. The Air Force waited until late Friday afternoon to announce that it has selected the bid of a Northrop Grumman Eads partnership to provide the service with at least 68 new aerial refueling tankers. The newly designated KC-45A will be a variant of the KC-330 multi-role tanker transport aircraft and a derivative of the Airbus A330 commercial airliner. The selection by the Air Force follows a protracted, hard-fought bid contest which ensued after an original award of the project to Boeing unraveled in a procurement scandal back in 2003. Several U.S. lawmakers and Washington State Governor Christine Gregoire are already on record promising legal challenges if the award doesn't go to Boeing. Expect news on that front early this week. Despite the late hour Friday of the release of the selection by the Air Force, reaction was quick to come in from several corners. Kansas Representative Todd Tyert vowed to seek a review of the decision at the highest levels of the Pentagon and Congress, with the hope of reversing the choice. Quote, "We should have an American tanker built by an American company with American workers. I cannot believe we would create French jobs in place of Kansas jobs," unquote. An official joint statement from Washington Senators Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell and six other lawmakers from the area said, quote, "We are outraged that this decision taps European Airbus and its foreign workers to provide a tanker to our American military. We will be asking tough questions about the decision to outsource this contract. We look forward to hearing the Air Force's justification," unquote. Predictably, lawmakers from Alabama, where Eads has promised to base final assembly of the KC-45A, feel differently. Alabama Congressman Joe Bonner said, quote, "We are so very excited about having the opportunity to help the Air Force acquire the most modern and capable refueling tanker, a tanker assembled in America by Americans," unquote. Alabama Senator Richard Shelby told reporters, quote, "I thought all along that the Northrop Grumman Eads proposal was the best. If Boeing had won this contract, I would have been concerned about it," unquote. While final assembly on the tanker is proposed to be done in Alabama, it will start out with an A330 airframe that was already assembled in Europe by Airbus. And what about Boeing? The company was reserved in its comments, expressing disappointment, but also making it clear this isn't necessarily over. Quote, "Our next step is to request and receive a debrief from the Air Force. Once we have reviewed the details behind the award, we will make a decision concerning our possible options, keeping in mind at all times the impact of the warfighter and our nation," unquote. According to a report in the Sunday Times of London, British aerospace firms are thrilled with the news the U.S. Air Force tanker will be an Airbus. Eads senior executives are quoted as saying the deal represents the second largest contract ever for UK aerospace, after BAE Systems' 1989 agreement to supply combat aircraft to Saudi Arabia. The KC-45A project could mean $6 billion worth of work to help secure 9,000 British jobs at risk in EADS Power 8 restructuring initiative. The British engineering firm Cobham, which specializes in airborne refueling technology, expects to benefit to the tune of $1 billion if Northrop EADS hangs on to the contract. The British arm of GE Aerospace Systems would also benefit as a major supplier. For Boeing, meanwhile, if the Air Force's decision stands, it could mean the closing of the 767 production line after current backlogged orders for the airliner and freighter versions are filled. In last week's other big aviation industry cliffhanger, there was still no official word as of early this morning to confirm last week's reports that a rumored Delta-Northwest Airlines merger has fallen apart. But another airline's CEO has contributed some ironic commentary. U.S. Airlines CEO Doug Parker told Reuters that Delta and Northwest have been putting too much pressure on their pilots to come to an agreement on terms for integrating the two groups into a single workforce. Quote, "I don't think it's fair to put the pilots in that position. In some sense, I feel for the pilots at Delta and Northwest," unquote. It should be noted that the same demands were put on pilots of America West and the old U.S. Airways in their merger, and that under Parker's leadership, the two groups remain at odds 3 years after the merger. More recently, Parker led a hostile takeover attempt of Delta during the latter's bankruptcy proceedings in late 2006 and early 2007. Tanya Bzukowicz is a pilot and a spokeswoman for the America West chapter of the Airline Pilots Association. She says the U.S. Airways CEO appears blessed with superb hindsight. Quote, "Doug Parker has failed to complete this merger. It's still chaos," unquote. Still ahead, NASA sets a date for Endeavour's launch. Boeing makes its first domestic delivery of a longer-range 777. And BRS now has systems in 11 different LSAs. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 3rd, 2008. I'm Paul Plagg. NASA senior managers completed a review Friday of the Space Shuttle Endeavour's readiness for flight and selected March 11th as the official launch date for mission STS-123. Commander Dominic Gorry and his six crewmates are scheduled to lift off in what's promised to be a spectacular nighttime launch at 2:28 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The 16-day mission will deliver and install the first section of the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency's Kibo Laboratory and the Canadian Space Agency's two-armed robotic system, Dexter, at the International Space Station. The work will require 5 spacewalks. And I'll say it again, if you're anywhere in that area during a nighttime shuttle launch, go there. Don't miss seeing it. Boeing Friday made the first delivery to a U.S. carrier of a wide-body 777-200LR, as in longer range. The plane was revealed, then dedicated by Delta Airlines management in honor of Delta employees. 150 of those employees attended the ceremony at Boeing Field. The airplane is the first of 8 Boeing LRs ordered by Delta to enhance its ability to connect customers and cargo between virtually any two cities around the globe nonstop. The aircraft is scheduled to enter regular service this Saturday, flying between Atlanta and Los Angeles, and will fly on March 9th from Atlanta to Tokyo. The new plane will be called the Delta Spirit, to honor the accomplishments of Delta's employees worldwide. It's also a nod to the original spirit of Delta, a Boeing 767-200 given to the airline in 1982 by employees, retirees, and friends. Ballistic Recovery Systems tells ANN the number of light sport aircraft models carrying its BRS airframe parachute system now stands at 11, and Apollo Fox LSA is the latest member of the BRS family. CEO Larry Williams notes, quote, "This is the kind of progress needed for the burgeoning LSA market, and it comes at a good time in our company's history when we have sufficient in-house manufacturing infrastructure and capacity now in place to take advantage of projected increased sales for these types of aircraft," unquote. BRS has delivered more than 28,000 parachute systems to aircraft owners worldwide, including over 3,500 systems for certificated aircraft. To date, the use of BRS parachute recovery systems has been credited with saving 211 lives. And finally, an Australian paraglider, who likes flying with his pet chihuahua, found himself stuck in a tree at more than 100 feet above the ground Friday with his dog after a flight gone wrong. 42-year-old Paul Hansen set out on the flight near Melbourne about 5 p.m. Friday, carrying 4-year-old Emma strapped to his chest. Fortunately, he was also carrying a UHF two-way radio and a mobile phone. When he hit the tree shortly after takeoff, he secured Emma, then tried to call for help on the radio. But as Hansen told Melbourne's Sunday Age newspaper, quote, "I couldn't get anyone on the radio. All I could hear was chatter about the cricket, and people were talking about their Friday night, but no one could hear me," unquote. Hansen had better luck text messaging friends with his phone. Those friends called police with his position report. A police helicopter crew then made contact on the UHF radio as they approached his position. Hansen's rescue from the tree took over 5 hours to complete. He said his situation was becoming pretty painful. Hansen's a cancer survivor, and he said the heavy dose of morphine he'd taken before the flight had worn off by the time he was rescued. I wonder how long that accident investigation will take to come up with a probable cause. Hansen told reporters he's considering selling his paraglider and donating the proceeds to volunteer emergency service workers. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves about a recent flight he made which highlighted the downside of training to personal minimums. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.